Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society. And for this hour, it is my consummate privilege to serve as host of the great message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. My guest for the fullness of the hour is Brother Paige Tyler, who is a very dear friend, a friend to this broadcast, and he is simply a man who embodies the 12-step movement, and he specializes, if you will, amongst other things, in the 12 steps for Christians. Brother Paige, welcome to our broadcast.
Thank you for having me here.
Well, it is my privilege, and I know that many people who speak with me, who listen to the broadcast, very much welcome these monthly sessions, and so they are worthy to be conducted. And I can think of none finer than to do so with you. Thank you so much. Brother, we're looking at step 8. I mean, we've rounded the home stretch. 12 steps, we're at step 8. And would you care to share with us what that step is?
Step 8, which is, made a list of all people we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Now, first thing is, that most people have to understand is all this step is asking you to do is to make a list. It's the only action it's asking you to do. And the only thing it's asking you to do with that list is become willing to make amends to them all. It does not ask you to make amends. This is not like a go do step. This is a step all to itself that says, I make a list and I become willing to make amends to everybody on that list. And this is, I think, is a big error that people make. They make a list and they become willing to make amends to some of the people on the list. Then they go out and they make those amends. And the other amends, they say, well, I'll get to them sometime. This is a huge error in the process and leaves you wide open to stumble and fall later on. It's one of those half measures that avail you absolutely nothing.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, brother, my perception of and experience of step 8 is that it is by nature preparatory. And I know for myself, on any number of levels in life, especially the things that are of most profound significance to me, I can't have enough preparation in place to make those actions or executions productive. I have to prepare. A preacher has to prepare. Granted, the Spirit of God will lead him, but he still must prepare. That word still has to be in him. I remember the first time I tried to ask this lovely lady out on a dinner date many, many, many years ago back in Boston. I literally had to take a 3-mile, 2-hour walk out and back just to prep and prime myself to have the guts to ask her. All right, maybe I was a schmuck, but I needed to do it. It seems to me that when you've damaged a lot of people's lives, you need to prepare in order to properly pursue this function or this step number 8.
Yep, and this preparation here, unlike your preparation for asking for a date, this preparation is preparing with God
yes.
to make the amends. This is not me getting ready. This is me getting ready to have God make the amends through me. But this is me aligning myself with the will of God. And it's me getting myself in alignment with God so that I can make a true, honest, and lasting and meaningful amends that will be acceptable to the person and acceptable, most importantly, to God.
You know, I remember, brother, when I was in between graduation from seminary and my placement here at First Baptist Conshohocken. There was a 2.5-year period of time. And all of my friends and colleagues at seminary were being placed. I was not. And I very quickly discerned that God did not deem me ready. He put me into a kind of unofficial finishing school. That's a whole nother story. But I do remember being led to pray in the following way. Lord, prepare me for the congregation that one day will be entrusted to my care. But please also prepare that congregation for me, who will be entrusted to them as their pastor. It was a mutuality at play, a kind of two-way street. Right. That's at work here, is it not?
That's exactly what's at work here. And that's what so many people will miss when they're doing these steps. They will miss the fact that this is a two-way street. And the only way, you know, without a traffic light or a traffic cop, there would be calamity at the intersections. Everybody would want to go when they got there on their time and not want to stop and wait for anybody else because they are in such a hurry. And that's what happens here. If we're not careful, we'll run up on this stop sign and run right through it. Where this is a clear stop sign, stop and wait for God.
Well, I guess it's important to understand, and I can see how easily someone eager like a puppy dog to get through the steps, and even with the best of intentions to do them successfully, this could easily be a very selfish, narcissistic step. I'm
exactly.
doing it for myself so I can get through the steps and graduate and even improve my lot in life.
Yep.
But it's not
yep.
about you at this point, is it? It's about the people you've hurt.
Right.
Right.
Everybody's looking for a pat on the back here. They're trying to get through the eighth and ninth steps so they can pat themselves on the back and say, oh, boy, what a good boy am I or girl or person that I am. And that's not what it's about. This is about ordering your steps so that your life is in alignment with the will of God for you. And that is what's so important, and that's what's so easily missed.
Yeah, I had an experience last Christmas. I felt the Spirit of God was leading me to reach out to some people from different quarters, people with whom I had found myself estranged over the years, people for whom I had the deepest regard. In the one instance, I understood what had happened, and I think it took two to tango. In the other instance, I didn't understand what had happened. But even in that, I had to humble myself. By the grace of God, reconciliation played out with both parties. And I recall with the one, and I had to humble myself. I didn't really understand what had happened, but I said, look, whatever it was, maybe I wasn't at my best. I simply ask you to forgive me if in any meaningful way I failed you. I just truly don't understand, and I need you to enlighten me. And the individual replied, you know what, Brad? I don't even remember why anymore either. It was 22 years ago. We were both enabled to put whatever it was behind us, and we've been restored. In fact, the relationship has even been made more meaningful from 22 years prior. It's a precious, precious thing. But I think humility rather than arrogance needs to be at play here.
Right. Now, remember, we had two humbling steps just prior to getting to this one.
Yeah.
You know? We became willing to have God remove all of our defects of character, which was humbling right there. We had to face our defects of character, and then we had to humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Clearly, it's humbling there because it's humbling is part of the step. This is also a humbling step. This is now taking yourself out of the driver's seat and allowing God to take control and God to run the show for you here. God to be in control. God to bring the person into your life at the right time, to give you the right words to say at the right time, and to prepare you to make an amends in the right way, in the right time, the way God would have you make it. Whatever it is, even if the person doesn't accept your amends, the one thing you will do, if you've done it the right way, you will walk away feeling justified. Not
yes.
arrogant, but justified.
Yeah,
I've done all that I could do.
Yeah, pronounced difference. If I may also put it this way, in the field of battle, you with your weapon, you are locked and loaded, and you trust with confidence. In step eight, you are primed and prepped, and you trust in humility.
Yes.
You know, and one's confidence exactly. is in God, not in oneself. Praise the Lord. But Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler with step eight of the 12-step ministry. We return in just a moment. Thank you. Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler, a very dear personal friend and trusted colleague in ministry, and also one who embodies the 12-step ministry program. Brother Tyler and I are addressing step number eight throughout this broadcast. We are called upon to make a list of all persons we had harmed, and we become willing to make amends to them all. Brother Paige, we were discussing the fact that this is in reality a preparatory step, and one that we prepare
yes.
in keeping with Almighty God. We're not left to our own devices, are we?
Exactly. And Jesus pointed us in this direction. He said, do to others as you would have them do to you. In other words, treat someone else the way you would like to be treated. Because I've seen that particular passage mishandled so many times. It is simply, how do I wish to be treated? So the minimum requirement that Christ is saying is that you at least give them the same gratis that you would give yourself. In other words, if you expect forgiveness, then give forgiveness. If you expect grace, then be graceful. If you expect someone to excuse you for some misspoken word or for some misstep that you made, then excuse others. You know, yeah. don't be like the evil servant who, being forgiven for thousands of talents, went out and threw his fellow servant into prison for 100 talents.
Yeah. You know, one area that I find very pronounced today, especially with younger people, they expect you to respect them, but they don't expect themselves necessarily to respect you.
Exactly.
That's a big one. I come across that all the time.
Right. Exactly. In other words, it's not a two-way street the way people think. Our society has drifted. This was the denuding of the Christian values in our society as we moved away from them. And we started it in 1966, and now here we are 50-some years later, and where are we? You know, look at the mess that we have.
But you know where you still find a holdover, a very precious vestige of that old world of propriety, where men and women, or men and men, regardless of the gender, are treating one another with both equality and respect and politeness, is at every local Wawa.
At the Wawa.
Everybody who opens the door for everybody else. It's, no, please, after you. Oh, thank you. No, thank you. Oh, you're welcome. I love it. It's like the last bastion of propriety.
But, now, you got to follow along with that. There's a reason why. Wawa makes a point out of treating its employees well. Its
yes.
employees treat its customers well.
Yeah.
Its customers are happy. You have this natural sense of feeling happy that you made it to a Wawa. You go out of your way. I drive out of my way to get to a Wawa.
Yeah, but Paige, I have an attitude. You can't get a 12-ounce can of Coca-Cola anymore. It's a 20-ounce can. I want a 12-ounce can.
Bradley.
Wawa only does 20. I know. I'm being particular. I know. I saw this phenomenon back in the 80s. Now, I realize the whole world of airline travel has changed, and not for the better. But back in the 80s, when I worked at Logan Airport in Boston, I was so impressed by Delta Airlines. They treated their employees well, and they treated their clientele well. I was so impressed. I didn't see that with some of the other airlines. I saw it with Delta.
Right.
It was a rather extraordinary lesson to learn. And, you know, brother, one would hope and wish that one would find it in the Christian church as well.
There are some churches. There are some churches that when you walk in through the door, the tabernacle up in New York.
The Brooklyn Tabernacle, Times Square,
Through the door, the love of Christ is felt, it permeates the building.
I remember, if I may just interject, forgive me, and then you pick up. When my wife and I were at Times Square Church one Sunday, I walked out to the Hampton Inn about a block and a half removed on the corner of, what is it, West, 10th and 51st on the west side. And they validate the parking. So I went into the garage at the Hampton Inn, and there were a number of Times Square people in the garage, and the love of Christ literally followed everybody out to the garage. Right. And if you were in that garage, you palpably felt the love of Christ. It was extraordinary.
And the same thing, and there's many churches like that. I pointed out that Brooklyn Tabernacle, because it's very well known. But there are many, many small churches that you walk into, and that is exactly what you feel. You will feel the love of Christ throughout the entire experience of being in that church. There are some other churches that I have been to. I have pulled into the parking lot.
Oh, I know one.
And the air was so cold. I never got out my car.
You came to us the next week, and you told us about this. And I asked you, is it such and such a church? And you looked at me in shock. You said, because it was. I knew exactly what you were talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is a truism. When we carry the love of God in our hearts, then we will treat other people with love and respect and caring. And that is what is so important. And so therefore what we're doing is we're living out step 8, which is treating other people, preparing, getting ready to treat other people the way we would want to be treated. To love the way Jesus Christ loved us. Love others the way Jesus Christ loved us. Wow.
You know, a great place to practice this, because if we're preparing, I mean, practice is integral to preparation, unlike what Allen Iverson may have understood some 20 years ago, you know, practice. Yeah, you practice, partner. Larry Bird did, Michael Jordan did, you're going to practice too, right? But I tell you, if you're real hungry, okay, if you've sat through one of my sermons, you're going to be real hungry when I'm done, right? I mean, if you're real hungry and you go to a restaurant thereafter, practice to the waitering staff what you would expect to receive back. We'll be wanting our food. We'll be wanting what we want. We'll be wanting it served the proper way. You know, I like my steak medium well. I don't want it red. I want it medium well. But we need to be mindful of the waitering staff. Maybe they're understaffed. Maybe it's unduly busy. Maybe the waiter or waitress in question clearly is having a bad day. We need to be mindful of their welfare. That's a wonderful way to practice step number 8, but a wonderful way to continue the discussion of step number 8 is in the third section of our broadcast. Brother Tyler and Brad Lacey, we return in just a moment.
This program is paid for by First Baptist Church of Conshohocken.
Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler of the 12-Step Ministry for Christians, indeed more broadly for anyone and everyone. We are returning with the great message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Brother Tyler, as I spoke of the practicing that we could apply at restaurants, with step number 8, or just being mindful of the welfare of another human being, you were looking as if you had something to say, and I had to hold you at bay. So pick up where we left off.
I was just hearing what you're saying, and also to remember that those people are working for slave wages and deserve a tip. They truly do. If you work for the kind of money they worked for, you would be on strike.
Well, you will recall those glorious halcyon days of yore when you and Peggy and I and a number of our churchgoers would frequent Dawson's in Plymouth Meeting after church. And, you know, right. I always loved the fact that you shared with us that we needed to leave a good tip. You know, they knew we were believers, and we needed to communicate to them the substance and value of that we hold with one another.
And what broke my heart was the fact that they said that traditionally church people were the worst.
I hear that from a lot of waitering staffs. I do. I think perhaps because, to be fair to the churchgoers, oftentimes it's an older constituency and they were leaving tips predicated upon a differing percentage. Yeah. You know, it's changed now and they don't realize it. But if you tell them, they don't care, you know, sadly. So we always made a point of doing 25%, you know, and praise God, it was a privilege.
It was a way of blessing.
Yes, indeed.
But also, like, as we were talking about love, carrying the love of Christ in our hearts into the world, this is what Step 8 is teaching us how to do. We're putting aside old enmities that we may have had with other people. We're putting them aside and we're learning how. Remember this step. This step is becoming willing. So we're learning how to be Christ-like.
Yes.
In this step. So we took 6, 7, and 8. 6, 7, and 8 is teaching you how to live in a Christ-like manner.
Yes.
How to put yourself subordinate to God, because remember, Christ being found in the form of a man, you know, sublimated himself as to a servant, even unto the death at the cross. So we have got to sublimate ourselves to God, bring ourselves beneath God, and our instructions are here in the Bible. There's nothing in the 12 steps that isn't in the Bible. If you take Luke 6:35, he says, I'm quoting the King James here, because it's just so much prettier the way it's done in the King James. But love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest.
It's very interesting.
For he is kind.
It's very interesting you raise this, because I was just reading off a Facebook post. A very well-known radio talk host was quoting the fact that we're called upon to love our enemies. The gentleman in question is a devout and practicing Christian. And he said, and he's a very politically minded guy, so you know what the political climate is like these days. And he says, this is a very difficult lesson that I'm trying to learn, but I'm trying to learn it. You know, learning is not easy.
Learning's not easy. It's hard for us to learn these things. And the reason why we have 3 steps to teach us this is because God knew it was going to be hard. So, I mean, when we get to step 9, we're in execution. But God's assuming that you have learned this. For whatever issue you're dealing with, now you can take each issue through. I suggest you take each issue through one at a time, because you're not going to get rid of all your character defects at once. And as you take each issue through to step 9, you have to get yourself ready to treat everybody. You want forgiveness for what you have done. You've got to forgive people for what they have done. And you've got to be willing to live in kindness and in love. And we are so far away from the Spirit of God in our world today, it scares me.
I think, however, and now there are, praise God, via his common grace, there will be expressions and pockets thereof of God's qualities. But in the main, unless Christians are acting as Christians, these beautiful qualities are extinct. They're gone. You know, it is the Judeo-Christian world that carries forth these beautiful qualities of humanity and frankly of godliness. Here's an interesting observation by way of learning and preparation and doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. You know, when we're driving on the thoroughfares, people can antagonize us very readily. If I have somebody fly past me and look at me and give me a dirty look, you don't want to be around me because I'm saying dirty things, all right? I'm just being honest. Who are you looking at, partner? And that's putting it politely, right? But you know something? If personal circumstances play out as I believe they clearly are, it may very well be in the autumn I will find myself taking a sabbatical both in New England and over in Wales in the UK. And in the UK, as you and I know, people drive on the wrong side of the car and on the wrong side of the road. And right. All of the grace that I would need to give on Henry Avenue or the Schuylkill Expressway, I'm going to require of other drivers giving it to me when I'm on the M5 or the A55 or the M1 over there.
Right.
I'm going to need from them what others need from me here. It's going to be quite a lesson to learn, quite frankly.
Exactly. And that's what we have to understand. We walk around with this attitude like we're perfect and the rest of the world is wrong. And that is so messed up and confused and confusing. We are all wrong. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. None of us is any better than the other guy. If you think you are, then pick up your Bible and start reading. You have all fallen short. The Bible says, judge not. And you shall not be judged. Be merciful, and you, as your Father in heaven is merciful. Now, condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven.
Oh, and here's another one. Be graciously disposed. This is something I've learned of God. God is always graciously disposed to his people. God yes. always honors his people. You know, I have learned over the years, when I wasn't being honored by others, maybe I didn't honor myself. I've often been given to self-deprecatory perceptions of myself, especially when I'm tired, but I have always learned that when I've been faithfully disposed to the work God has placed before me, which is his people, that God has honored me. God has been graciously disposed to me. I remember a particular instance, and I want to be very careful how I phrase and cast this, when there were some people I felt forgot something about me, and it was rather hurtful. Now, maybe I just needed to, you know, grow up and get over it, which I did, by the way. But that being said, it was remarkable how God came in from another direction and honored me. It was extraordinary. And so as we honor God and as we honor one another, God honors us at every turn. Praise the Lord. But Brother Tyler, we're going to honor you with one more opportunity, but on the other side of the commercial divide. Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler, we return in a moment. Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler of the 12-Step Ministry for Christians, we return for the final round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Brother Tyler, in talking about Step 8, we were sharing earlier how Step 8 can be misunderstood, misapplied, perhaps applied for more self-absorbed purpose than it was originally and fundamentally intended. It's also true, however, that Step 8 could be somewhat intimidating to people.
Right.
And what would be some of the intimidating factors?
Well, what people think of is the first thing is they don't read Step 8. They read Step 9 into Step 8. And they see themselves having to go make amends. If I do Step 8, then I have to go make amends. And that means I have to do Step 9. They don't see that Step 8 is this becoming ready through the Spirit of God to do Step 9. And in fact, many of them have come through the steps without engaging the Spirit of God, particularly in the secular programs. What they've done is they have not engaged their higher power. They've kind of like appropriated him in a superficial way. So they don't actually have him engaged in their program. So when they get to these steps, these steps seem difficult to them. I say that if you're at Step 8 and you are feeling and you're feeling like it's difficult, if it's hard, if you're having a hard time with it, go straight back to step four, maybe even step three, and turn your will and your life over to the care of God. And definitely step four, make sure that you've made a fearless moral inventory of yourself. And step five, make sure that you have admitted to God yourself and to another person. Every single thing, your all of your character defects. Then step six, humbly ask him. You know, humbly ask him to make you willing to let go of your character defects. Then humbly asked him to remove them. Notice how I put a humbly in front of step six. It's not there, but by now you would have gotten the humbly part, that you're lowering yourself beneath the Lord. You're not doing anything without his guidance, and you're allowing God to lead the way, and you are following God. And when you're following God, step eight is not hard at all.
Well, you know, I think that applying humility to step six, it's implied. It's a kind of parenthetical. But, you know, I would think with step eight, could you argue that step eight, maybe in complement to one or two of these others, is really one of the hardest steps to apply? Would that be fair?
It is one of the hardest steps to apply, and it's the reason why people hop and skip over it.
Well, I think it's also
Because
it's also very hard to apply, because man by nature is not humble.
We're not humble, and we're not willing to wait.
Yes.
The Bible, how many times does the Bible tell us to wait on the Lord? Why do you think the Bible keeps telling us over and over again to wait on the Lord? Them that wait on the Lord. Well, why does he keep saying it? Because he knows that we have a hard time waiting on him, just waiting for God to make us ready and to make the situation right so that it can be done correctly.
And if one waits upon God, one must trust in God. I think, for instance, of John the Baptist's father, the high priest Zacharias, when the angel came to share with Zacharias, with great privilege, God has heard your prayer, brother. And Zacharias is somewhat cheeky, to put it mildly. You know, God has heard my prayer. I'm an old man now, right? But that didn't daunt God. God clearly discerned that Zacharias would be better able to apply himself and would be more honored if 45 years later the prayer was answered. God understood in his wisdom. You know, there have been things in my life I've come to understand. I wasn't ready for them 10 years ago. I wasn't ready for them 20 years ago. But if I humble myself before the Almighty and trust in him, he knows when I'll be ready.
Exactly.
So humility, again, when you humble yourself before God, what does the scripture say? He will lift you up in due time.
Exactly. And that's what we're doing here. We're humbling ourselves and we let God lift us up. God brings us into step nine. God opens up the opportunities for us to make the amends. God gives us the words. Guys, I'm doing step nine for us this month, but doing it twice doesn't hurt. We have to be led by the Spirit. You know, as many who are led by the Spirit are the children of God. At this point, you have to be being led by the Spirit of God. Otherwise, you're off on your own and probably going down an errant path.
It's interesting that if you are led of the Spirit, we have to be mindful that the Spirit of God operates on differing time schedules, as the English would say. For instance, in the desert, the Israelites basically spent 40 years in the desert wandering around for reasons germane to God's purpose and perception. The Israelites were not yet ready to take the land. And so to be keeping in step with the Spirit of God, they had to wander and camp. By the same token, in other contexts, God's people are called to look at the church in the 20th century here in the West. God's people were called to advance, and we spent the next 50 to 75 years living in the past.
Yeah, and guess what?
And we're waking up now, and God help us, you know?
And guess what? if you don't do these steps and do them the right way, you'll wander right back into your addictive behavior. And you'll spend another 40 years in the desert, in the wilderness, wandering around, wondering, how did this happen to me? Why did this happen to me again? Oh, woe is me. Wandering all the way back to the foot of Jericho, where once again you have to make a decision to go in and conquer the land through the power of God.
You know, brother, I'm sure you'll agree with me, though I don't mean to put words in your mouth. I listen very carefully to the prayers of God's people, and I join ranks with them in prayer. But I like to hear the substance of prayer. And one area where I think we need to pick up on, we'll be praying continuously. And you know this as well as I. We're very big on asking God to comfort us, right? Lord, comfort us. Lord, bless us. My experience has been that oftentimes the Lord is actually wanting to convict us, not comfort us. Mm-hmm. We're praying for comfort, and he's trying to convict us. We'll never get the comfort until we take the conviction, you know?
Right.
So we're not learning the lessons, and therefore we can't properly prepare for the blessings that he does have for us.
And step eight is accepting the convictions.
Yes, of course it is.
Acknowledging them, acknowledging my wrong, and setting right in my heart. Like Zacharias said, Lord, this day I will. And he made a declaration to, Zacchaeus. I used the wrong name. Zacchaeus said, well, this day I'll set right all the wrongs that I did. And if I cheated anybody, I'll give them back twice as much. And if I stole from them, I'll give them four times as much. He, on that day that he accepted salvation, he made he accepted who he was, what he had done wrong, and made a decision to make it right. And we're asked to do the exact same thing.
Well, you drew upon scripture. I'm going to draw upon an experience that you and I shared at that lovely restaurant Dawson's in Plymouth Meeting. You will recall one day, a brother Herbert, okay, our Jamaican brother, mm-hmm. who was in church on Sunday, by the way, with his wife and son. It was great to have them back. They were asking after you and Denise and Inez and yourself. I think you were the three principals, but correct me if I'm wrong. I'm mentioning the names with affection, okay, with great affection. But you will recall that in that big booth in the back, a food fight broke out one day, right?
It was okay. Them. I had nothing to do with it.
Well, I went to the proprietor, who we knew well, and I said, look, sir, I want to apologize. We kind of got carried away. And you know what he said to us? Now, we had sought to be the presence of Christ there for how many years, right? Yeah. He said to me, Reverend Lacey, how long have you and your people been coming here? And I said, well, a good 8 years, maybe. He says, that's right. I think you guys have earned a good food fight. That's what he said to me. We humbled ourselves, and he was graciously disposed to us.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful, comical context, but a wonderful, sober lesson to learn by the same token. You know, I think you were egging them on, though, Paige. I really do.
Right? I was kind of egging them on. I got to admit that.
Brother, some final thought, a final thought, please, concerning step eight.
My final thoughts are, number one, don't be afraid of this step. This is not a step of fear. This is a step of faith. It is only making a list and becoming willing. Read the step. Do not proceed to step nine without having done step eight. And step eight says that you become willing. You make a list and you become willing in your heart. This is a godly willingness, not just I'm going to go and tell somebody I'm sorry for what I did to them. That's not going to accomplish anything. It may make you feel better, but it will not keep you clean and sober. I'm telling you, I've watched so many people fall back who have done this. You must be engaging God at this point, and you must bring him into your life at this time. If you don't have God engaged in your life, go back to step three.
Brother, on that moment and point, we bid the audience adieu. Brother Paige Tyler and Brad Lacey, we thank you for having been with us. God bless.